on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the third hour here on Raider Nation Radio. Thank you so much, the Morning Tailgate, Vinny and Clay, here on your Monday. Make sure you text the word money to 702-365-9200 so you can qualify for this week's contest, our destination from Planet Nissan. Part of our summer of fun. It's 5 days out in Alpine, Wyoming, just outside of Jackson Hole. You know it's beautiful there. Do some fly fishing, get away for horseback riding, or you just take the $3,000 cash. Text the word money to 702-365-9200. Jesse Merrick is with us on Mondays at Jesse News 3LV, the host, the reporter, the anchor with News 3. He could do it all. And man, it was awesome to see some of the video footage that you picked up from over the weekend, especially off a July 4th game in Michelob Ultra Arena between the Aces and the Mystics. Dude, how crazy was that atmosphere? Because it looked like a playoff game or a title game, and we're just in the middle of June. July.
Yeah, you know, that was really fun, man. It's one of those deals where, like, for the folks that haven't been out to catch an Aces game yet, like, got to be on your list of things to do on the Vegas sports scene. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere is always through the roof there, whether it's at T-Mobile, whether it's at Michelob Ultra Arena, whether it's on the city street somewhere. Like, the fans are going to come out and support the Aces. I mean, when you look at this team, they're stacked. You know, so many Olympians on this team. You know, it's just always a good time. Now having Chelsea Gray back, they've, like, really settled in. And the players have kind of all gone back to their normal roles. And you really start to see this team start thriving again. And obviously, amongst all the superstars on this team, you got the best player in the world in Asia Wilson, who just keeps doing incredible things, you know, game after game. And then now setting the franchise record for points last night. Just cool stuff, man. It's one of those things where Chelsea Gray said it last night, you know, like, a lot of times when athletes are in the midst of this greatness, maybe we don't all necessarily sit back and kind of soak it in and revel in it and give them their, you know, their flowers. I hate that saying, but give them their flowers in the moment, you know, and I think that's something we need to do. And that's not being like a fangirl or anything like that. Oh, like, yeah. Just acknowledging that what this chick is doing is pretty incredible. She's in year 7, and it still feels like she's got another, I mean, 20 years, whatever, who knows how long. It just feels like she's got a lot left in the tank.
And potentially a gold medal coming here pretty soon. And yeah. I wanted to talk about that because there will be a break here for the Olympics, which is getting ready to start. So the WNBA and the Aces are going to put things on pause for a duration and wait that whole thing out. How do you think they plan to handle this pause button that they're going to have to hit here pretty soon?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is, like, you know, there's so many players on this team that are going to be playing in the Olympics. So they're going to be real busy. You know, you wonder about the fatigue factor when they come back. You know, for the rookies on this team, someone like a Kate Martin, you know, who's been playing, you know, basketball for a long time. I was having a conversation with my colleague O'Brien recently that, like, you know, you look at Kate Martin, Caitlin Clark, you know, Angel Reese, any of these yep. rookies, you know, that are in the mix that aren't going over there. This has got to be probably like a, oh, thank God I get a bit of a break to kind of relax and rest because they've been playing since, what, September, really? You know, when they report from training camp.
Yeah, almost a 12-month, they've been playing for 12 months almost.
Yeah, it's insane. So, like, when you really sit back and think about it and mix all of that in with, like, hey, I'm trying to figure out how to be a professional athlete in a new city, like, that whole thing is just kind of crazy. So, like, I'm sure for them, you know, the ones that aren't going to the Olympics are probably excited to just sit and maybe stare at a wall and do nothing. in terms of the Aces players, you know, it's one of those things where you go out there and, look, you lock in, try and win a gold medal, you know, and maybe that helps, you know, to keep that a competitive edge and things like that. Maybe you see some teams when you come back that didn't have a lot of people in action, a lot of players in action over there, and it takes them a second to kind of kick things back into gear. You don't anticipate that being the case for the Aces. And I think, again, the only thing you worry about is the fatigue factor because they haven't really given themselves a great runway. You know, they've lost more games than they should have to start the season here. You know, so when they come back, it's like, hey, it's got to be, you know, nose to the grind again, and you got to ride it out the rest of the way to try and go for number 3.
It's Jesse Merrick here with us on Raider Nation Radio here on R920. Follow him on X at Jesse News 3LV. And you go back to that one that one quote of kind of like as we're watching Asia Wilson, and anytime we see a certain athlete go through this great apex of skill and determination and cumulative stats keep rolling up and records keep getting broken, why do you think it's so difficult for us to be presently acknowledging greatness as we see it? Because we seem to spend so much time either looking back or looking forward. Where is the moment?
Yeah, no, I mean, I 100% agree with you. I think, some of that may be, social media, and we have short attention spans now,
sure, okay.
And we're always kind of moving on to the next thing. But yeah, I personally have tried to really kind of be in the moment and recognize things like that when we see it. I mean, with the Raiders, you look at what Max Crosby is doing, and just as a player and his rise, to being one of the top guys in the NFL as well. So like, those are the things, that I think, one, as someone that covers sports in general, are fun to watch and see kind of right before your eyes and get kind of that peek behind the curtain of how the sausage is made for all these people. Mm-hmm. But as a fan of sports and fans out there, I mean, take the time to really soak it in and realize, like, game by game, that this is not normal, that what someone like an Asia Wilson is doing is not normal at all. And it's pretty cool because, like, I've been lucky enough to cover her, they moved here in 2018, so I covered her second season. Pretty early on in her NFL career and kind of have seen her develop. And the cool thing is like, she's been the same person from that day until now, like always gracious with her time, always makes time available for people, and you can tell this year, I think she's realized a little bit more in the moment too, as we speak of being in the moment of celebrating her teammates and doing what she can for them. And I remember talking to her at their media day before the season started. And, she's like, yeah, I'm just in a really good place right now. And, I feel like I'm ready to take my game to the next level. And I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, this is someone who's won MVPs. This is someone who's won multiple championships, who's already broken records. Like, what the hell else is there to do? And then she goes and does it again this year. And we've seen it in the crazy stretch of double-doubles that she, started the year on, or continued the year on, I guess, from the carryover from last season. Also incredible. So it's just one of those things where it's like you said, it is easy because we see all these records and all these things kind of pop up and it's like, oh, they're going to break this record or that record or this one. And you kind of keep moving. Yeah. I think it is important to sit back and take that breath of fresh air and be like, wow, this is someone that we can say right now in year 7 is a future Hall of Famer. And again, the runway is still very long for someone like her. So that's one of those things where it's cool to watch. And I think we all as sports fans, whether we cover the sport or not, really need to sit back and embrace those moments more often, I think.
We're talking to Jesse Merrick from Channel 3 here in Las Vegas. Mark Davis's other team, the Raiders, are on the doorstep of beginning training camp. We are just days away now from the start of camp over in Costa Mesa, California. What are your two biggest storylines that you're drawing up and focused on the eve of training camp?
I mean, look, the easy one, obviously, everyone wants to know who the quarterback's going to be. That battle between Gardner and Aiden. And then after that, it's probably another consensus one, but the battle at cornerback, that's the thing I think we're all going to kind of be watching and waiting to see. I think we can all say with some certainty that Jack Jones has probably locked up a spot. He's got the trust of this coaching staff, and, he's a guy that's been such a playmaker. And Nate Hobbs, obviously, is going to, solidify that spot there in the slot. It's who's going to be the guy opposite of Jack Jones. And there's so many guys in the mix there. That makes it exciting too, because it's not like, oh, it's a battle of like two guys. I mean, you could make a legitimate case, for so many different guys in that group. I mean, you have a Brandon Faison coming back, from injury. You've got Jacorian Bennett now in year 2, a much more probably comfortable looking player out there, had a year under his belt to kind of figure some things out and did show flashes last year, obviously showed flashes in the wrong direction too. But again, as a rookie in a weird, crazy situation, like, I think fared pretty well overall. You have DeCamrion Richardson as well in the mix in that one too. Another rookie who comes in with that speed and the length and that like crazy prototypical type size. So like, it's just going to be fun to see how that whole battle develops. To me, I think that's almost, and I hate to even say it, I think it's more exciting than the quarterback battle. Just because we don't have two premier names battling it out at quarterback or a top rookie or anything like that. No knock on those two guys. Like, I think these are two guys that can run the offense effectively, and have a shot to have this team competing for playoff contention. A battle between O'Connell and Minshew doesn't necessarily have the same flash as maybe a guy that's kind of been there, done that, and a rook who's trying to unseat him or something like that.
Well, I think we could also kind of like imagine that if you want to find like a fair battle for quarterbacks, you know, sometimes this has to roll into the preseason. I mean, could you envision maybe Aiden starting at the Vikings and then Gardner Minshew starting home against the Cowboys?
Yeah, and I think to that point, I think we'll see more of the starters, out there in action in these preseason games. I mean, maybe not Devontae. I don't think that's the guy that no matter who's going to be quarterback, I'm pretty sure both guys can throw the ball to Devontae.
Yeah, good call. Yep.
You know, and yeah, it may not be fair to them to be like, well, they don't have their best weapon out there. Yeah, but also that guy's pretty dang important. Not that the other guys aren't. I mean, that's not what I'm saying, but it's Devontae Adams. Like, I think everyone understands that I'm getting out there.
Oh, for sure.
But I would imagine we do see, more of the starters on the offensive line in there. I'd imagine we see more of a Zamir White in the backfield, Jacoby, Trey Tucker. You know, obviously we're going to see, the young tight ends in the mix as well. So I think I would imagine that would be the case where we do see each of them maybe get a start and get maybe the full half or split the half, that's what I'd like to see, because it's one thing in practice, and look, you can get a lot from practice, but it's different when you got someone coming at you where you can actually be sacked. It's not that, Max Crosby's there and he's going to get to me, but he's just going to play patty cake with me, even though we know Max sometimes is a little more than patty cake, even in practice. But, I think in a game, it's totally different when, it's live fire and you got to worry about somebody putting on your butt. And you can really start to see how they adjust on the fly in a new offense for both of these guys, and when a defense is, obviously they're not scheming crazy things up in the preseason or anything like that. But, when a defense is making, some minor adjustments and things like that. And you have also guys on the other side of the ball that are fighting for their lives, that are fighting for roster spots, too. So I think that would just make this I think it's one of those things where if these guys do play extended minutes in the preseason, like fans can probably feel a lot more comfortable about whoever ends up winning that job because you've seen more of it. Whereas at practice, what happens there, they rely on us, which is great because that keeps us employed. But for them to be able to see it with their own eyes as well in a game, I think would be much better for everyone involved.
Jesse, Thayer Munford, right tackle, Dylan Parham, right guard, Jackson Powers Johnson, left guard. Those are three new players at three different positions for the Raiders offensive line. Do you think that the Raiders would be wise to get that offensive line, that starting offensive line on the field during preseason as well?
Yeah, I would say so. They talk about so much that offensive line is that developmental position. Yes, on the specific player side, but also like as a unit as well, because communication is so key for that group. Dylan Parham, Andre James, Colton Miller, like they've all played together, but kind of you're shuffling things up a little bit with moving Dylan Parham to the left there. And then you bring in the rookie and Jackson Powers Johnson. We know Thayer Munford played some last year too. But it's just, when you start mixing in new ingredients, moving things around, like it's different and new for everyone. Like think about it. In any athletic endeavor you do, like if you're a righty and you try to do something left-handed, how difficult is that,
Right.
And then think about trying to do that when you got 300-pound dudes like rushing at you as well. So for a guy like Dylan Parham, who has shown that positional versatility, it's going to be huge for him to be able to be there, with Colton Miller and work in that regard as well. A guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, that is. Going to be good to see kind of the two of them, working together, see how they mesh and things like that. And again, for Thayer Munford, like big opportunity for him, and continue to be able to kind of work with Dylan Parham there on that side and just Andre James making the call to all of those different guys. So like, I'm excited, again, it's not necessarily a sexy, thing, but like watching the offensive line and how they all mesh is going to be one of those deals that's going to be really interesting. Because there's a lot of potential in this group, and we talk about it all the time in every sport. Potential is nothing. Like, you got to go out there and do it. And these guys know that, and they say the right thing and everything. But this is one of those things where, like, we haven't seen the Raiders have that, like, offensive line that they had when Gruden was in town. They were one of the better units in the league. And not that they've been poor, but, they've kind of been middle of the road. So now let's see if they can kick things to the next level. And that's something that when you do have these two quarterbacks in Aiden and Gardner who aren't these, elite top-flight guys, that can help change things and take this offense to the next level and make it that much easier on them.
When you think about, and we were talking about Raiders AFC opponents and NFC opponents this week and who has improved from last year, we take a look at AFC North teams and a lot of them are obviously on the Raiders schedule. For the offensive line, let's say worst case scenario or maybe best case scenario, when will we find out how good this offensive line is when they face either the Ravens, Steelers, Browns, or Bengals? When do you think that game would be, and which defensive line will prove to be the most difficult for the Raiders' offensive line to deal with?
Yeah, that's a tough one because there's guys on like all those lines.
Each one, yeah. Browns.
Yeah, like man, that's a really good one. I would say I'm thinking I'm gonna lean Browns, just because I mean, look, no offense to T.J. Watt and everything that he's done, you know, and that Steelers front, like they're one of those teams that just always seems to have an unreal front. But you go and look at the Browns, and you know, Myles Garrett is just kind of that next level freak of nature type athlete. You know, and has great supporting cast up there as well. And I believe last year, I could be wrong, I'm going off the top of my head here, I think they led the league in sacks. But, you know, I know they were on a crazy run defensively,
that's right.
You know, for quite a while. So that's one of those ones where I think that's your kind of like measuring tape game for the Raiders offensive line against the Browns.
Jesse, great stuff, man. Thank you for coming on today. We'd be remiss to remind everybody NBC will be the home for the Summer Olympics as well as Telemundo, but NBC will be broadcasting 9 hours of coverage each day as well as live streaming on Peacock from the opening ceremonies and every Olympic basketball game. Follow Jesse on X at JesseNews3LV. Thanks again for your time, Jesse. Let's do it again next week.
For sure, guys. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
Thank you. That's Jesse Merrick here with us on Raider Nation Radio. And, yeah, with the storylines for both corners and quarterbacks for this Raiders team, it makes you wonder, like, how does, you know, how will we know which grouping will go best with what they have to work with in the training camp? Because quarterbacks are going to need a good offensive line, and the corners, you know, respectively, are going to need, you know, a very good defensive line in order to show their improvement. Now, for the Raiders' offensive line, I just wish they would have had maybe a joint practice of some regard, but they're going to get by without it. So
yeah,
it won't be the most you know, impossible thing to work without. But for this cornerback room, how do you think they'll be tested in the preseason?
Yeah, well, I don't know how much Nate Hobbs or Jack Jones are going to play.
Right.
Like I like the cornerback room. You know, I think people kind of see that one job opening and think that it speaks to like a room-wide situation. It isn't. It's just one position. And I think the Raiders feel good that either Jacorian Bennett or Brandon Faison are going to be able to fill it immediately. And one or the other, whoever doesn't get the starting job is going to be a key rotational piece. And I think that, you know, they're hoping for growth from a Decamerion Richardson, maybe an MJ Devonshire as the year goes on, which is a lot different than quarterback. I think the Raiders feel like they have a certain level or potential level of play quarterback-wise. The question is, who is it going to be? Who are they going to put it in the hands of? And that's a much bigger issue than finding that one cornerback to be a starter, because I think they really do believe that they have a starting caliber cornerback currently on the roster. And if they don't feel that, or if they have any apprehensions at all, there's places to go on the open market to go bring that guy in.
Raider KO from the 415 says, I think we have no need to bring in a vet in the secondary. We have so much talent following Jack Jones at corner. I think Jacorian will bounce back. I think Brandon Faison is a dog. He's just been riddled with injuries. And that's the only drawback for Brandon Faison, isn't it?
And just 1 year.
Just that 1 year. So. But when he was available to play, even during the Gus Bradley era, it was very remarkable how consistent he was going up against the best receivers.
He's a good football player, and he showed that, you know, the following year in Indianapolis. So, again, you know, you forget about him almost, or fans forget about him because he wasn't available last year. There was a leg injury that he suffered in training camp. We never really saw him until way, 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 way down the road. But this is a good football player. Again, if he's the starter, I think they'd feel comfortable with that. I think ideally they'd like to have Jacorian Bennett, the younger player, you know, ascend to that starting job. And there's still, you know, a high ceiling for him to get to with Brandon being that reliable rotational piece. You know, there's Sam Webb. There's other cornerbacks that have played football, too, in the NFL that are on this roster. It doesn't just automatically go to Decamerion Richardson or an MJ Devonshire. There's some experience in between there as well. Again, the question becomes, are the Raiders completely satisfied with that room, or do they feel like they got to go add a veteran piece? And I wouldn't rule that out.
All right. We'll get into more of this as we take a break here. We'll talk about the Bengals and the Browns, other AFC opponents for the Raiders to face. Did they improve from last year? We'll talk about that coming up next.
So, you know, we talk about this all the time, money. I ended up just deciding I'm just going to pay off the trip to New York. You know, I put a lot of it on credit cards, just bang, paid it off. I don't want to have to pay that monthly fee each and every month. And it was painful. It was painful. You know, I don't do alcohol right now on this diet, so I couldn't, you know, drink a nice glass of wine before hitting the submit button on the payments to the couple credit cards that I use. But it didn't feel good. Let's put it that way. But it is what it is. And it was the daily reminder that that money rules all. And sometimes we're in a position where we just need money a little bit more than we normally do. And maybe a car bill, you know, or car breakdown happened, or maybe you have a big trip coming up, or whatever the case might be. There's always all sorts of reasons why we need some extra cash. And maybe you're in that situation where you need $500 to $5,000 quickly. Maybe you're losing some sleep and sweating it out a little bit. Don't. I'm telling you, don't even worry about it. Because all you have to do is go over to LendingStore.com. For 20 years, over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now credit is, or cash is as close as tomorrow, as soon as tomorrow, and as close as your hand. When you need cash now, why wait? Just go to LendingStore.com. Let them help you find a lender that could get you $500 to $5,000 as early as tomorrow. Don't lose any sleep. Don't sweat it. Just go to LendingStore.com for all the details.
Jet drop, looks right, fires over the middle, through the hands of the receiver, bobbled and picked off by Hobbs, working across the field, 35, cuts up to the 30, and he's brought down at the Giant 25-yard line. It was bobbled by the receiver, Marcus Peters batted it up in the air, and Nate Hobbs has his first pick of the season.
Raiders Radio Network with the call. Thanks for being with us here. It's Vinny and Clay on your Monday up at 702-365-9200, getting your thoughts as we go around the league, especially in the AFC and NFC this week, taking a look at which teams got better than they were last year. We started off with the AFC North because some Raiders opponents were there. And, you know, we start off with the Baltimore Ravens. It's hard to find if a team improved from a 13-4 record last year. It seems negligible. They seem to be about the same.
But they lost a lot.
They lost a lot.
More than you think.
Yeah, so they're almost like a benefit of the doubt that they'll still be very competitive, obviously. But as compared to the Pittsburgh Steelers, it looks like they made some upgrades.
It did. And, you know, when we just to rehash, the Ravens lost their defensive coordinator. He's now the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. They lost Patrick Queen, their fine linebacker, who's now in Pittsburgh, and that helps Pittsburgh, weakens the Baltimore Ravens. They lost two of their offensive linemen from last year. So you give the Ravens a little bit of a benefit of the doubt because they continually draft and replace, draft, develop, replace always, and they rarely miss a beat. But between, you know, some of the losses that they've had defensively, Jadeveon Clowney is no longer on the team. There's a safety that they lost. Between the some of the personnel losses and their defensive coordinator loss, maybe by middle of the season everything will be fine. But I would expect that there's going to be a little bit of a transition earlier in the season, and therefore I don't know if they're going to be that 13-14 win team again.
All right, and with the remaining teams out of the AFC North, the Browns and the Bengals, it's crazy because if you look at the Browns just on paper, you're like, oh, they were 11-6. That must be Deshaun Watson must return to his old form again. But that wasn't the case at all because he missed six games and they needed Joe Flacco to make a late season charge. And at the same time, you know, now they'll have Ken Dorsey as offensive coordinator. Do you feel like at least in this one aspect of their offense, did their offense make enough upgrades to say, like, we're going to be better than we were last year? As they ran out of gas in the playoffs, but they were definitely a hard team to beat.
Yeah, and they did add Jerry Jeudy from the Denver Broncos.
Okay,
I don't know what that's gonna mean. I didn't see enough of Jerry Jeudy in Denver. I do give him, I cut him a little bit of slack because he was dealing with just bad quarterbacks.
Right. I mean, people would always label Jerry Jeudy as being somebody that was mistake prone. Well, that whole team was riddled with mistakes. And, you know, there was a lot of mistakes. And do you remember, like, when Ben Albright and I think even Mike Kliss said something like Jeudy had a tendency of, like, giving up towards the end of the season? I don't know.
I don't necessarily remember that. But I do know that when you don't have, you know, solid quarterback play, it's going to hurt everybody, including your wide receivers. I tell this story a lot about when the Rams signed Robert Woods from the Buffalo Bills in 2016. And I know you report it and then you watch the feedback and Ram fans were just up in arms. Robert Woods, he's been a total disappointment in Buffalo and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, was he? or did he just not have good quarterbacks in Buffalo? And I remember I sat down one time with Robert and we talked about how many quarterbacks he played with in those years. And I think it was 4 years in Buffalo, and there's like 9 different quarterbacks.
From Kelly Holcomb to Fitzpatrick. I mean, that's
it was not good. Yeah, Kyle Orton, I think, was in there. the quarterback from Florida State, who was a second-round pick, that E.J. Manuel was in that mix.
EJ.
It was just a clown show kind of at quarterback, and that held Robert back. And all of a sudden, he gets to Los Angeles, you know, with Jared Goff, and away he went. He turned himself into a really good player, and Ram fans are like, oh, I didn't realize it. Yeah, well, because when you don't have somebody throwing the ball to you, you know, at a high level, you're going to feel that as a wide receiver. Yeah. So when you look at Jerry Jeudy, and I loved him coming out of Alabama. I thought he was one of the best route runners I'd seen in college football in a long, long time. So I don't know whether he just fizzled out or he's just a situation like a Robert Woods, where it was just really the quarterback play that let him down with the Denver Broncos. And so now he goes to Cleveland, and here's the question for him. Can he revive his career or just do something with his career at this point? And B, what level of quarterback is Deshaun Watson going to be? There's no doubt that the Browns have not gotten the return on investment that they were expecting when they threw all that guaranteed money at Deshaun Watson. Now, on one hand, you say to yourself, he missed 6 games. They were still able to, you know, reach the playoffs. You got to figure that he's better than Flacco and some of the quarterbacks that they had as replacements for him. So, you know, in that way, if he plays 17 games, the quarterback play for 17 games should be better. But will it be better? We don't know. I mean, Deshaun Watson has been kind of an enigma, you know, since he got there. I look at the Browns defense, and on paper it was really good under Jim Schwartz, their first year defensive coordinator, renowned defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the fact that they gave up, they were the worst team in the red zone defensively. They gave up touchdowns on over 70%. What was it, 71%? Yeah, 71% of the time that teams got to the red zone against them, they scored touchdowns. That's not going to get it done. And, you know, Jim Schwartz and the Browns defense are basically, you know, running the line out there well. It's year 2 under Jim Schwartz. They're going to be able to go further into their toolbox. There's going to be some new wrinkles that they're going to be able to add after, you know, phasing in an entirely new defense. I think they switched from a 3-4 to a 4-3. They made a massive change. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So their feeling is year 2, kind of like with the Raiders, you know, Patrick Graham's defense was a world of difference better in year 2 than it was in year 1. So if that effect takes effect in Cleveland, the year 2 in Jim Schwartz's defense, then that defense is going to get better. Whether they improve the personnel or not, you know, there's always some changes that you make. But just the fact that they're bringing back a bunch of that defense and now are in year 2, it stands to reason that they're going to be better off for that experience.
It feels like it. You know, Myles Garrett is just such an emerging force. Each and every year seems to get better. He's now going to be working with Dalvin Tomlinson and Shelby Harris, but it's that secondary that really does shine, and you got some great players with Denzel Ward, and Greg Newsome is gifted. It seems like, you know, they added other guys to kind of like help not only the secondary but the middle of the field with Devin Bush and Jordan Hicks to kind of work with Coromora. So there's sound at every position there on defense, and it makes me wonder, like, by the time the Raiders and the Browns meet, that'll be the second of a back-to-back home swing in week 4 for the Raiders. How much will that defense be really clicking by that point for the Browns? Because it makes me feel like that offense might be slow coming out of the gate.
Yeah, and you know, it feels like, you know, they did bring in Jordan Hicks. They added some you know, personnel to the defense and offense, for that matter, Jerry Jeudy. But it feels like they're hoping that most of the improvement comes from within. Deshaun Watson being Deshaun Watson, finally. The defense being better off for being in year 2 in Jim Schwartz's system. So it's not so much what they brought in, it's what they still have in place and are one more year experienced, and maybe Deshaun Watson is one more year closer or one step closer to being the quarterback that they thought they were getting from the Houston Texans. If that is the case, then this is a better team. Like, if that's the whole key to me. If Deshaun Watson is closer to being Deshaun Watson, it changes everything for the Cleveland Browns. All of a sudden, guys like Jerry Jeudy are going to get better because Deshaun Watson is better. But I'm not ready to claim that yet because I have to see it before I believe it.
And so we'll move on to Cincinnati. And maybe, you know, for you thinking like they looked like the best team in the NFL at one point last season, but everything started to change. Obviously, when Burrow gets hurt and that's a season-ending injury, Browning looked fine at times, but it just wasn't enough. Did they make the kind of necessary upgrades in the offseason to make this team, you know, considerably more competitive than they were last year? Because I looked at just maybe the additions of guys like Trent Brown on the offensive line and also trying to figure out, you know, how are they going to have that mix to protect Joe Burrow? Again, it just doesn't seem like that has been a commitment for excellence, the priority of an offensive line to keep Joe Burrow upright. I don't know if they've drafted well enough and have picked up enough in free agent to make that an upgrade.
I think they improved at tackle, and they also drafted Mims from Georgia. So I think they're definitely trying to pour resources into mm-hmm. into improving that area. And if they on paper it looks better this year than it did last year. And having Joe Burrow, that's the key to the whole thing.
Yeah.
If they can keep him healthy, then he makes them one of the best teams in the NFL, period, exclamation point. So that's something that, the Bengals are counting on is, again, it might, you know, they did address the tackle position, so that on paper looks better.
Yeah, Mims, and maybe, you know, if Orlando Brown can, you know, rebound Orlando from Brown. Kind of a neutral year, maybe they have something there.
They got Trent Brown, Orlando Brown, and, mm-hmm. And Mims is going to replace one of those guys before it's all said and done. Trent Brown usually gives people an opportunity to do that because he doesn't normally play full seasons. But, you know, if you do get Trent for a full season, that's going to be an upgrade at that position. And you got Mims waiting in the wings. So, the thing that would scare me if I'm the Raiders or anybody else is a healthy Joe Burrow, because I think a healthy Joe Burrow is a difference maker.
How much is it bothersome for a quarterback dealing with injuries like Burrow? It was the calf injury that could, you know, possibly lead to something with Achilles down the road if not fixed. But last year was the wrist injury. That's the one that happened early on in the year, and a disaster struck when they faced the Ravens on what was a Thursday night game, and he was out for the year. How difficult is it to rebound out of that wrist?
Well, if he's healthy, he's healthy. Like Burrow doesn't strike me as somebody that's going to be all worried about it.
So you're saying, like, even if it's not 100%, it's still going to be good?
I would think that at this point it is 100%.
Okay.
So, if it isn't, that's a whole other story. But I think there's been enough time for that thing, to get better. And I think when he gets to the point where, you know, I didn't watch much of their OTAs or mini camps, so I don't know if he was out there slinging it. But he'll know. In his head, he knows, you know, if it's right or not. And so if there aren't any, carryover effects from it, if he is completely cleared from it, then he's the type of guy that he's not going to worry about injuries. It's not going to be in his head. He's cool and collected. He's kind of wired that way where I think he'll put that behind him and look forward and play well. So I don't think for any of those injuries, and he has been star-crossed a little bit in his career now. That's two seasons, right, where he hasn't been able to get through the season.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just a little worrisome because it's a trend now. You know, it's something that's like, boy, I don't want to see this go on for too much longer. If you're like a Bengals fan wanting to see this hit, it makes you wonder, like, when will it hit? And will it be too late? Did this window start to close? Because we're already seeing how their wide receivers are getting a little disgruntled because, you know, from Higgins all the way down, seems like even Hendrickson on the defense, guys want to feel like, hey, if this is a premium team, I want to be paid like a premium player on this premium
team.
Well,
good luck with that with the Bengals. They do things a little bit differently there in Cincinnati. But, you know, I don't know if it's a trend or, you know, he's been just kind of the victim of some bad circumstances. Like, I don't think he's glass. I don't think he's made of glass. I don't think that, you know, the injury factor is something that his body is just going to continually let him down. I think there's been some freak injuries with Joe Burrow, and for his sake, hopefully it's all early in his career and he gets past that, the bad luck part of it, and then stays injury free throughout. Because again, if he's out there playing and if he's healthy, he's the kind of difference maker that can help your team get to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Incidentally, for the Raiders, they face the Bengals, and they're like in the middle of a sandwich spot. Prior to the Raiders game in November, The Bengals are home against the Eagles, and then they're on the road on a short week after they face the Raiders. They face the Ravens on a Thursday night. So that could always play into it, too. We'll take a look at more on the other side. It's Raider Nation Radio. We'll clear the lines for your chance to win a pair of tickets for Front Row Cards. They got the big show, Front Row Card Show, on July 13th through the 14th at the Rio this coming weekend. That's almost 450 tables of cards and comics and collectibles. You know, you can get your tickets online at frontrowcardshow.com. But I got two tickets for you, and you'll qualify to win $200 in Card Show bucks. 702-365-9200 for Front Row Cards, the big show this weekend at the Rio. It's here for you on Raider Nation Radio. Loving all the participation up on the text line, 702-365-9200. Just a few minutes left here. I'm Raider Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us as we went over the Raiders' AFC North opponents and who improved and who upgraded, who did not. And, you know, decidedly, it's still kind of up in the air for the Bengals. Did they improve from last year, especially with everything going on at the quarterback position? We see from the text line at 702-365-9200. Let's see. Dame in Oakland says Glass Joe is overrated.
Oh, stop it.
We also see some thoughts coming in from the 408 saying that if the Raiders want to beat the Browns, they have to find a way to shut down the wide receivers because they won't have a run game to speak of. And that's because Nick Chubb's probably going to be out by the, you know, could still be out. He's had an ACL injury in week two, but I don't know if the Browns want to rush him back. Maybe they do something that how the Jets worked Priest Hall into the mix by midpoint into the season to get a heavier workload. Hard to say, but you know, the running back room is kind of scanty behind Chubb with Nyheim Hicks and Ford, TJ Ford. So I don't know if they're going to have like full bore by the time the week four rolls around.
Right, exactly. And I mean, Joe Burrow makes the improvement. He is, if Joe Burrow is healthy for 17 games, he's the improvement for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he's a massive improvement. Anyone thinks that he's overrated, it's crazy.
All right, we'll take a timeout here for the show. Thank you for joining us today. All our podcasts are up online at lvsportsnetwork.com. As well as all our podcasts are up at iTunes and on, you know, you go to the Apple Podcasts. They're all up there, as well as Spotify. And LV Sports Network, the app, is available. It's free. You can stream easy on both iPhone and Android. LV Sports Network, get the app. It's awesome. And it's also got the whole array of all our podcasts from JT the Brick and Q Myers, Unnecessary Roughness. For Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. Rich Eisen is next. And then you got a full day of Raider Nation Radio beginning at noon Pacific with JT the Brick Show and Q Myers, Unnecessary Roughness. Have a great day, everyone.